This is Morning Edition. I'm Eric Hodge. Dean Smith died over the weekend at the age of 83. Smith first came to Chapel Hill as an assistant basketball coach in 1958. He took over the program 3 years later and went on a run of unprecedented success that lasted four decades. When he retired in 1997, his 879 wins were the most of any major college men's basketball coach. In later years, dementia robbed him of his famous memory. Dave DeWitt has this remembrance.
Induction into a Sports Hall of Fame is a reflective moment for any athlete or coach. Nine Tar Heel players or coaches are in the Basketball Hall of Fame, and eight of them either had some connection to Dean Smith or were Dean Smith. And none missed the opportunity to thank him.
Coach Smith, you know, what else can I say about him? You know, he's a legendary in his, you know, in the game of coaching.
Coach Smith, this truly is hard to put into words. You were and are my mentor, my teacher, my friend. 95% of what I do came from you.
Anybody that's been part of the Carolina family knows what an unbelievable honor it is to play for Coach Smith and to represent that school.
Michael Jordan, Roy Williams, and Larry Brown spanned the full career of Dean Smith from the late 1950s into the 1990s. When Smith began coaching, there was no shot clock, no three-point line, and no black players on Southern teams. When he retired, the college game had become a fully integrated, multi-billion-dollar business. But one thing never changed: the loyalty Smith showed for members of the so-called Carolina family. It was a quality he exhibited from his first days at the school. Frank McGuire hired Smith as an assistant at Carolina and spoke at Smith's own Hall of Fame induction in 1983.
His loyalty, forget about it. What more would you want from a man than loyalty? The most loyal man in the world.
When McGuire left UNC in the midst of a recruiting scandal in 1961, Smith became the head coach. It was a rocky start. Drawing on the strength and faith of his parents, both teachers and devout Baptists in Kansas, Smith endured the first few years in Chapel Hill and built a consistent winner. Once he was established, Smith turned his attention to integrating his team. In 1966, Smith recruited the school's first black player, Charles Scott. It was a groundbreaking move that changed Southern sports and culture. Sports writer and author Barry Jacobs.
And he actually said to me that he regretted that he hadn't been more aggressive in recruiting African-American players earlier, that he had basically been fairly passive about leading the way.
As the tumultuous 1960s gave way to the Nixon-era 70s, Smith kept on winning. A steady stream of Atlantic Coast Conference championships and Final Four appearances and an Olympic gold medal. Smith ran a tight program. Players graduated. Smith demanded politeness and prohibited facial hair. He claimed he never once cursed. But Smith was hardly perfect. He struggled to quit smoking. His first marriage ended in divorce, and despite all of the team's success, it seemed he could never quite get over the hump and win a national championship. That changed on March 29th, 1982.
With 20 seconds left to play, goes back to Michael Jordan, jumper from out on the left, good! 63-62, 13-12-11, Georgetown with one timeout. Fred Brown looking, oh, way to Worthy! Worthy five! The Tar Heels are going to win the national championship!
11 years later, Carolina won it again against Michigan. In between the two titles, the university opened a 21,000-seat arena on campus in 1986. Smith originally did not want the $33 million building named after him, but was convinced to let it happen when he was told the fundraising would be easier. But Smith held to his convictions on another point. During his tenure, the building that bore his name did not display any advertising inside. He also came out against ads for alcohol on TV broadcasts of college sports and longed for the day when freshmen sat out a year before they could play on the varsity team. All were efforts to protect and enhance the student-athlete experience, stances that seem quaint today. The last decade of Smith's career was a time of great victories and some off-the-court challenges. Some players began to get into legal scrapes, and on the court, the team seemed less cohesive at times. Smith coached his last game in 1997, a loss to Arizona in the Final Four. 3 games earlier, he had set the record for all-time wins, surpassing Kentucky's Adolph Rupp. He said later that he considered retiring short of the milestone because he was fundamentally against the intense focus on such records. At his retirement press conference in October of 1997, Smith found it hard to stay composed.
I'm the luckiest guy in the world. I've said that. To be in Chapel Hill, to be at the University of North Carolina, I arrived here in August of 58. And thanks to Frank McGuire and a great friend and Chancellor Aycock, I was able to come. Thanks to my players, I was able to stay. They didn't fire me. What loyalty I've had, any man from my players over there, they're really special. That's all.
Smith stayed on at UNC after retiring as coach. He went back to earning the same annual salary he had when he started. He kept an office in the basement of the building that bore his name and his hand in some high-profile coaching changes. Roy Williams, his hand-picked successor and former assistant, now sits in Smith's old office on the first floor. In his later years, Smith also stayed involved in political issues. As a coach, he spoke out against war, nuclear proliferation, and the death penalty. In 2008, he supported Barack Obama for president. Barry Jacobs, the sports writer and author, says his involvement in issues outside athletics was a rarity for a coach, but part of who Smith was.
He said that he probably, although he was occasionally approached, could never be elected to an office in North Carolina because he was too liberal. People just didn't know that. And part of that was because he just didn't make too many political statements, and he stuck to things that he thought were consistent with his spiritual values.
For as long as anyone can remember, Smith devoted several hours every Monday morning to corresponding with former players, coaches, team managers, almost everyone associated with the Carolina basketball family. His memory for even the smallest events in others' lives was legendary. And although his memory faded near the end of his life, his devotion was an inspiration to those around him and a model to those who competed against him, like Duke's Mike Krzyzewski.
The intense loyalty that you feel towards him is something that I've admired since I first started coaching. It is really one of the great things in sport, the intense loyalty of the Tar Heel players for Coach Smith. I applaud you.
In the coming days, old rivals and players and friends will share stories and memories. Countless commentators and Carolina fans will obsess over the details of Smith's career and debate his legacy. But in an interview conducted in 2008, Smith didn't believe his greatest successes were the 879 victories or the 1976 gold medal or the national championships. He chose instead to focus on the extended family he now leaves behind.
I really never thought about a legacy, except the nice thing I probably am most pleased with, the real high graduation rate, 96%, but the fact they all stick together, they call themselves the Carolina family. I didn't plan that, but they're really good people, and I think they all like me now. They might not like me when I played, so I don't know whether that's a legacy, but I am very proud of all of them.
Dave DeWitt, North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC.